The following is an exclusive presentation of WI Garden Media, the voice of Garden Talk Radio.
Coming up on the program, we're going to talk about seed starting and understanding the world of seeds as well as strawberries in the ground and containers. Our guest is new author Pam Farley, and we'll answer your garden questions. The hour is full, so join us.
You are listening to the most informationally packed hour of garden-focused radio in the country and on the internet with your host, husband and wife team Joey and Holly Baird. This is the Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show.
And welcome to season 7 of the Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show. Happy you are with us. If this is the first time you're tuning into the program, welcome. If you've been with us for many seasons and many episodes, welcome back. We're happy to be with you, broadcasting on 20 stations in parts of 26 states in the United States of America. I am your host, Joy Baird. Beside me is my wife, co-host, best friend, and gardening partner,
Holly Baird.
This program is for you, about you, to help your garden grow better, to maintain your landscape, grow healthier trees, make your grass look greener, as well as preserving what you grow. If you want to be part of the program, well, you can find all past shows at our parent website, the WisconsinVegetableGardener.com, underneath the Radio 7 tab at the top of the page. You can find in-studio video replay. You can find all that stuff, podcasts, all right there. If you want to be part of the program, you can certainly do that. You can email us at gardentalkradio@gmail.com. That's gardentalkradio@gmail.com. And you can drop us a line. Let us know where you're listening to us in the world. If you want to call us, you can do that on the toll-free hotline at 1-800-927-SHOW, 1-800-927-7469. Well, Holly, let's get in the program here and talk about understanding seeds and seed starting. We are in the prime seed starting time right now, and we got a lot of new people and a lot of new beginners, and they're probably making the mistakes that we've made in the past.
Right. And I think one of the biggest things to keep in mind is that you do not need to start all of your seeds, especially certain varieties of seeds. So, for example, root crops.
Right.
You're not going to start those. You just put those directly into the ground. Now, you don't have to start any seeds either.
Correct.
Yeah. But the root crops, if you are thinking of, oh, I got to start these root crops, you don't. So that's one.
Well, we're done, like radishes, you don't need to start inside. Beets, you could.
Yeah, I guess you could.
But carrots, you don't.
Onions, you can. That's
onions and leeks are,
like a,
yeah.
That's like not quite a root crop. I'm talking about like root crop.
Root, you know? Right, right. Yeah. Rutabagas, turnips, those things. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to start everything at once. You don't have to start anything at all. And before you decide to buy some trays from rootmaker.com and buy some seeds from junkseeds.com and go full bore and invest a lot of money and get a Happy Leaf LED grow light, do some research. Don't just watch one YouTube video or read one article. Do a multitude of, you know, 5 or 6 or 7, because I tell you a story. When we do our show from in our home, in a home studio, when we were constructing this, I watched a lot of videos on the right equipment, and 4 videos would say this is good, and 2 videos would say that is not good. So there's a lot of research and good sources out there, but there's also a lot of sources out there that wants that click and wants you to watch that video ad so they get that revenue, whether it's on a YouTube video or on a website. So that is what we're here for, to help you limit the mistakes that you may be or potentially will make, and you can get a hold of us at gardentalkradio@gmail.com. When to start your seeds all depends on where you live.
So the biggest thing is that doing research and putting in find out your grow zone. You can find out your USDA growing zone by simply going to your favorite search engine and typing in USDA growing zone and putting your zip code, and it will tell you what your USDA growing zone is. And then from there, you can find your last average frost date, your first average frost date. Right now, we're going to focus on our last average frost date. And for some of you, it might be coming up sooner than you think.
Right. And it doesn't mean that if the 14th of the month is your last average frost date, the 15th, you can run in the garden and throw your tomatoes or peppers or whatever in the ground.
Right.
That's not how it works. That is a guideline. There is, for us, when we plant our tomatoes, it is About 33 days past the last average frost date in our area, because you got to wait for the soil to warm up and you got to wait for the ambient temperature to warm up. You got to know that before you just throw things in the ground. That's why in the early portions of the season, you can grow the quote unquote cool weather crops, the radishes, peas, spinach, lettuce, those type of items that can handle the chill, kale, Brussels sprouts, you can put them in early, brassicas, handle the chill, and then as the seasons change, then you can grow the more warmer crops, the hot season crops.
Right, and that's how the that works. So what you want to do is keep in mind that you need to plant them in something.
Yes. We use Rootmaker grow trays from rootmaker.com, coupon code RADIO23 to save 15% off your order. If we ramble over too many of these coupon codes, you can go to our parent website, which is thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com, and click on the money tab at the top of the page. All of them are listed there for you.
Right. But I'm talking about the medium. So whether it be
potting soil, peat, the peat pellets, yeah. Compost, you got to grow them in something. And there's good somethings to grow in, and there's bad somethings to grow in. And if you can take some of the bad stuff, like peat pellets, wonderful technology. Great way to start your seed off, contains no nutrient value, and the netting doesn't decompose as it says it does. I mean, it might in like 30 years. We're still digging things up from 10, 15 years ago. So you can start your seeds off, get them kind of growing, and then remove that netting and place them in another container with compost or potting soil that has some nutrient value. That's what you need, nutrient value. Watering is not nutrient value. You can use a slow-release fertilizer, a liquid fertilizer at a quarter of the strength, that's a nutrient value, but you want to be careful what you're using so the plants don't become addicted to it or require it, because you want your soil to feed the plants. You don't want what you're putting in the soil to feed the plants.
Right, and that's exactly. You want to make sure that you're using the correct nutrient to feed the soil.
And we start ours in a mixture of homemade compost and old potting soil that's too dry, and we incorporate the two, and then it basically brings the bad potting soil back to life, because we're mixing it with really enriched compost, and we're saving money on that end because we're making it last longer, but we're not compromising the seeds in which we are starting in that, because we have a good balance of nutrient value material medium for the plants to start and grow in for the time being.
Right. And so then the thing you want to think about is grow lights, no grow lights, where you put these seedlings, what's going to happen in a couple months when they start to really start to feel like they're taking up space, but also most importantly, how they're going to get their light to grow.
Now,
and plants need light to grow.
Right. You don't have to use a grow light. We didn't use a grow light for a number of years, Holly. And though we didn't, we had to rotate the plants because they would draw towards the light source, which was the window. And that worked fine for a while. But when you invest in the time and money and materials and the mindset of, okay, I'm going to start as many plants as I can to grow as much as I can because it's going to be cost effective and I don't have to go to the grocery store and pay X dollar amount for fill in the blank, or have to go to the garden center and pay $7 for a tomato plant or a pepper plant, the investment of getting a good quality piece of equipment that will last multiple years, decades, is key. And that's why we recommend Happy Leaf LED grow lights. We've been using them for a decade now with zero problems. They have the utmost, they're designed by an engineer, made in America, and they have the correct light spectrum for plants to grow, and they provide more than the amount of light that is required by the plant with a very low cost impact when it comes to energy use. If you want to find out more, you can go to happyleafled.com, use coupon code JOEYHOLLY to save 10% on your order over $90. And, you know, you're going to hear a lot of sponsors on this program over the course of the next 35 weeks. We do our due diligence, and we do not just get somebody that says, hey, we'll write you a check, say our name on the radio a couple of times. These are products that we use and that we have used and we would use even if we didn't have a program, because they are that good.
Absolutely. So speaking of that.
Well, so with that kind of a wrap up on the seed starting, know what you're planting it in. Know when to start it. Some you don't have to start. And if you're going to start them indoors, give them the proper amount of light so you can have a good, healthy plant start before you put them out in the garden so you can get them established better, quicker, and have less problems getting them to grow, and they will produce for you.
Right. So we are brought to you today by our sponsors, Walton's Inc. Listen, we know you care about where your food comes from. Canning and preserving your fruits and vegetables is great. But what about the meat? At waltonsinc.com, you can get all the equipment, seasoning, and supplies to make sausage, jerky, and any other meat products your way to your high standards. Do you want to make snack sticks that people will actually like? Walton's created meatgistics.com, an informational site to help you make the best finished product. Walton's even has a full line of their own meat grinders, mixers, and sausage stuffers to help you go from animal to edible. Walton's, everything but the meat at waltonsinc.com. You can use code GROW50 to save 10% off of orders of $50 or more.
Hang out with us when we come back. Do you grow strawberries? How do you grow your strawberries? In a container, in the ground, or neither? We'll go over all of that when we come back. You're tuned in to the Garden with Joey and Holly radio show.
Got a question for Joey and Holly? Send it via email anytime to gardentalkradio@gmail.com.
Grip 6 produces American-made products with sleek designs and quality materials. Based and manufactured in Utah, they have high-quality and durable products to last a lifetime. They are built beyond tough. Their wool socks come from Rocky Mountain source materials, are soft and comfortable, keep your feet warm and dry, and come with a lifetime guarantee. Even for the most sensitive toes, these socks are made for everyone. High-quality wool socks make a huge difference for happy feet. They fit in with all the many things you do, from around the house to the outdoors and beyond. They are comfortable and long-lasting. We wear ours daily and have become our go-to socks. We are glad we made the switch, and they are incomparable to any other socks we have worn. Designed and manufactured in-house for the best results and quality every time. When you purchase from Grip 6, you're supporting long life cycle products and American-made manufacturing. Check out their belts, wallets, and socks at grip6.com and use coupon code RADIO15 to save 15% off your order at grip6.com. Dig planting holes from a comfortable standing position. Step, twist, pull, and plant. Visit ProPlugger.com. Pomona's Universal Pectin is a high-quality pectin that gels reliably with low amounts of any sweetener. If you're trying to reduce the amount of sugar in your diet, you'll love Pomona's Universal Pectin. Now you can make healthy homemade jams and jellies sweetened to your taste. You can use sugar or honey to sweeten. Pomona's Universal Pectin keeps indefinitely when stored in an airtight container. Easy to use, versatile, and comes with directions and recipes in every box. Find out more and where to buy at PomonaPectin.com. Also available at natural food stores and online.
Jung Seed Company is a family-owned and operated gardening company since 1907, with the largest selection of seeds and plants online. Use coupon code 10TG23 to receive 10% off your order at JungSeeds.com. Again, that coupon code is 10TG23.
Make watering easy. DripWorks provides quality drip irrigation supplies and equipment to gardeners just like you for all your growing needs across the U.S. and Canada. Purchase online at DripWorks.com. Mantis Tillers, the premium long-lasting gas-powered tillers, are the perfect solution for any garden. This Mantis machine is available with 2 or 4 cycle engines with a 19-inch or 16-inch tilling width. Your DIY companion in your garden and your lawn converts easily for edging, aerating, and more with optional attachments. Find details at Mantis.com.
The Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show is brought to you by the following: DripWorks, Rise Gardens, Grip 6, Bloomin' Easy, Fleet Farm, Walton's Incorporated, Blue Ribbon Organics, Tree Diaper. Find all sponsors at the WisconsinVegetableGardener.com and thank them for their support. Welcome back to the Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show.
Farm and Garden Ultimate Comfort. Farmer's Defense has lightweight and durable sleeves made to protect you against the elements while farming. Farmer sleeves offer unparalleled protection of arms and skin for any farmer, gardener, or outdoor worker. Say goodbye to irritated skin and sunburns in the garden. Their sleeves offer cooling, comfort, and protection against the elements outdoors. An alternative to thick clothing, Farmer's Defense is made of wicking material with UBF protection factor of 50 plus to protect your arms from allergens and scratches. To find all of the great products and more, visit FarmersDefense.com.
All right, Holly. Well, do you grow strawberries in the ground or in the containers around your house or around the garden? Well, we're going to go over some of the pros and cons when it comes to growing those strawberries. And it depends on what you're growing the intended purpose for. Are you trying to grow a field full so you have plenty for consumption and canning or freezing? Are you just wanting a few bowlfuls during the season? That would be the first question one would need to ask.
And some people do this because of ornamental reasons. They will buy a strawberry, one of those container strawberry deals.
Yes.
And then
baskets.
Baskets, whatever they're called, that you can get at the garden center, big box store, whatever. And they just like the aesthetic of the strawberries, and then that's it for the season. Or they just think, okay, I'm going to buy these strawberries, and it's going to be perfect and great. And then the first year you get no strawberries.
Right.
Yeah.
Now there's June bearing and there's everbearing. June bearing, hence the name, bears the berries in June. Everbearing, you're going to get in the spring, get a few in the summer. You get in the fall, you're going to kind of get everbearing. So I'll tell you our story. We had June bearing strawberries. This was 2012, and we got them from online supplier. And we planted, we got like 20. And typical strawberry life is 5 to 7 years. Well, once we got to that 4-year mark, we had an area that was approximately 150 square feet of strawberries. They were not in rows or in distinct grow patches. They were just a carpet of strawberries in the high end of our garden. However, at that 4 to 5 year mark, we were harvesting 10 to 15 pounds of strawberries a year. Then they declined rapidly after that point because that's the life cycle is about to over with on them. So they do propagate. June bearings propagate by runners or daughter plants. They are offshoots. They can have 3 or 4 additional growth tips that will self-root themselves and to carry on the patch. Now, we, because of the grass and other outside factors, the patch in which we had dissipated and disappeared, but because of that small area, we didn't have to go to a pick-your-own farm. We were able to harvest right in our own backyard. Difference being, if you're in a container, you're not going to have, or several containers, you're not going to have the volume of plants that will produce the quantity of berries that you may think you should be getting. So,
right.
So to me, it doesn't make sense in my world that I would grow strawberries, 7 plants to get 1 bowl of strawberries for the season, and that's it. And then you got to keep the things alive and watered all growing season long.
You're talking about those containers?
Correct.
Yeah. So that's very true. And again, people will do it for the aesthetic because they want a handful of strawberries, whatever. Now, one thing I would keep in mind is many people might think, okay, so I can get June bearing, which means that they bear the bulk of the strawberries in June, or I can get everbearing and I can enjoy strawberries all summer. Now, say you do a lot of canning, you might want the June bearing just so that you can whatever and then be done and then move on to the next thing.
So everbearing, in comparison, everbearing is the similarity to indeterminate tomatoes. They'll produce throughout the season, but never necessarily a large bulk at one time.
Right, exactly. And that's something to keep in mind. And then also, the June bearing puts off those runners.
Yes.
And you want to keep that in mind because they're going to, if you have them in the ground, they're going to take up more space. Some people do try to control the runners. They try to move the runners. Mm-hmm. And you can certainly do that. We had this crazy patch of strawberries, like strawberry all over the place.
Right.
But by the end of our strawberry life cycle. But yeah.
But yeah, the daughter plants will root themselves and detach themselves from the mother plant. And then you can dig those daughter plants up and replant them in places that you want. It just got to the point where 150 square feet, you kind of do the math on how big that area is in your mind. And that is just a carpet of grass and multitude of strawberry plants, and just kind of it ran its cycle, and we knew we could do it, and we put other things in that area that we felt were more productive than maintaining a strawberry patch in the later cycle of its life on the original plants.
Right. And another thing is that when you're growing strawberries, you do have to worry about pest control.
Birds.
Because a lot of times, yeah, birds will find those strawberries faster than you can and eat them. And it's extremely frustrating, especially if you took time to set aside that area.
I'm going
to
get it tomorrow. It's not here.
And it's like your third year, and you're like, I'm finally going to get a prolific amount of strawberries. And these birds are like, oh, good morning, let me eat your strawberries. Mm-hmm. So you have to think about that too, maybe where you're putting it.
If bird cages, bird netting.
Yeah, bird netting, yeah. All sorts of stuff. Some people paint rocks red to scare the birds away because they peck at the rocks and they're like, oh, that hurts my beak, I'm not going to eat here. I don't know how smart birds are, but
they stay alive during winter.
Right.
And it's cold, so yeah. I'm going to give them probably pretty smart.
I'm going to say they have good instinctive characteristics. So that's one thing to keep in mind, is that there are pests that you would have to worry about. And then also just thinking about, yes, strawberries are good, but maybe something like a blueberry or raspberry or whatever berry plant might be more
asparagus
suited. Yeah, or asparagus might be more suited for that area. Just all depending, especially if you do live near a pick your own farm, it might be, you might have a better usage for that acreage.
Right. And we're not deterring you or discouraging you if you have berry plants in containers or are thinking about that. We're here to present to you both sides of the equation to allow you to make the best educated choice for the best return on investment or time spent in order to get a return, whether you feel that it's is positive or negative, and what is the best move. Because most times you don't want to be out there every night watering containers to keep the strawberries alive for 27 weeks before they go into dormancy, so you can get 3 weeks of berries or a scattered of 4 to 6 weeks of berries over the course of a growing season, assuming that nothing eats them.
Yeah, exactly. And then you have to find a place to store that container or do something with it or put it somewhere, whatever it may be. So that's another drawback. I would say that I would just not grow strawberries right in containers, but that's me. I feel like if you are concerned about space, there's a lot of other things uh-huh. you can grow in containers that make more sense, and you might just use the ground space for strawberries if you're that determined to grow them. If you want to maybe think, oh, I'm going to get a feel for this, I would still use the ground space.
Yes. So, Holly, soon it'll be warming up, and you will want to make sure you can enjoy your yard without sharing it with what? Those beetles and grubs.
Yeah, with spring just around the corner, it's time to start thinking about controlling the beetles and grubs in your garden or your yard.
Grub Gone can be applied to your turf or garden or around ornamentals to control grubs and lessen the impact that the beetles have on your yard this summer. Easy to use and apply with a commercial spreader or irrigate right into the soil. Biologically specific to target grubs and beetle invaders without harming the beneficial insects you have in your environment, such as bees, butterflies, and ladybugs.
And to be honest, it's the only non-chemical that works. You can find out more and purchase at phylumbioproducts.com. That's P-H-Y-L-L-O-M, bioproducts.com, phylumbioproducts.com.
And I will want to throw in on the strawberry thing. If you are going to grow strawberries, get the sets or get the starts. Don't try to start them from seed and grow. There are varieties that grow better in certain geographical areas in the United States. So be sure you do your research and get that particular variety that, you know, don't try to grow something in the South that only really grows good in the North. Hang out with us when we come back. New author Pam Farley will be with us. You're tuned in to the Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show.
Have a garden question? Give Joey and Holly a call now or anytime 24/7. Just dial 1-800-927-SHOW. If you can't get through, leave a message and they will call you back. Call now 1-800-927-SHOW.
Aqua-Mart.com has everything you need for eye-pleasing outdoor water features on your property. For over 25 years, we've been creating and field testing beautiful water features in order to provide you with the most reliable products and best value in the industry. From easy-to-install pond and water-filled kits to pumps, fish food, and more, you'll find everything you need to install and maintain a naturally balanced water feature in your yard. Make your backyard a true oasis and maintain it well. Visit aqua-mart.com to shop for all your needs.
We know that you appreciate the value of a beautifully landscaped yard, but tackling such a project yourself can seem way too complicated, right? Bloomin' Easy Plants are the answer. Their plants are low maintenance and offer exceptional beauty and color for your yard. Plus, they offer free seasonal care reminders with simple how-to videos tailored to the plants that you choose. With Bloomin' Easy on your side, creating the yard that you've always wanted becomes as easy as plant, water, and relax. Check them out at your local garden center or by visiting BloominEasyPlants.com.
Worried about watering too much or too little? Tree diaper technology is the best way to stabilize your soil moisture in your garden, trees, or houseplants. Use coupon code GARDEN15 to save 15% off at TreeDiaper.com. Chapin has the tools you need to water, feed, and protect your garden. We make equipment for lawn and garden care, and we are always innovating to help make your next growing season a success. Our newest products are the 5010 Rose Duster, watering tools including hose nozzles, sprinklers, and timers, the Mixes on Exit Backpack Sprayer that mixes concentrate as you spray. You can find all products at www.chapinmfg.com, major online retailers, home improvement stores, and hardware stores near you.
Need a new mattress? Choose Furlow over the other leading brands and save big, really big. Because, hey, nobody ever slept better for paying thousands more for basically the same mattress. Plus, with Furlow Mattress, you also get our exclusive lifetime comfort guarantee. Good for as long as you own your mattress. Comfort to comfort, dollars to dollars. Compare Furlow to the others, and it's obvious. You get more bed for your buck. Wake up. Sleep better. Furlow.
Happy Leaf LED grow lights are USA made in small batches for outstanding performance and long run cost effectiveness. 5-year warranty and VIP customer service. Grow happy at happyleafled.com. Use coupon code JOEYHOLLY to get 10% off any order over $90 at happyleafled.com.
Head into Fleet Farm where you'll find everything you need. From tires to tree stands, drills to dog food, toys to tools, they've got it all. You can save even more at Fleet Farm when you join the Fleet Rewards loyalty program. You get exclusive offers and it's free to sign up. Get everything you need at a low fleet price. Shop in store or online today at Fleet Farm.
Tree Hugger sprinklers are the ultimate watering device for either your newly planted or established trees and shrubs. Our sprinklers open and close around the trunk of your tree and provide 360 degrees of watering. With our adjustable valve, you can direct the water to your tree's targeted saturation zone. They come in three sizes, 7, 11, and 15 inches. You can purchase a Tree Hugger sprinkler at your local garden center, feed store, or hardware store. Go to treehuggersprinklers.com to find a retailer close to you. Or you can buy it directly from Amazon or treehuggersprinklers.com. If you're an independent nursery, garden center, hardware store, or feed store, you will want to stock this product. Contact the good people at Tree Hugger Sprinklers and they will get you set up. Your tree's best friend, treehuggersprinklers.com. The Garden with Joy and Holly radio show is brought to you by the following: Chapin Manufacturing Incorporated, Aqua-Mart, Soil Savvy, Wind River Chimes, Wisconsin Greenhouse Company, Pro Plugger, Deer Defeat, Dripping Springs Oyas, Phylum Bioproducts. Find all sponsors at thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com and thank them for their support. Welcome back to the Gardening with Joy and Holly radio show. Happy you're with us today. Moments away, author Pam Farley. But first, a message from Rise Garden.
Rise Gardens is a revolutionary hydroponic gardening system for your home. Instead of food traveling hundreds or even over 1,000 miles before it hits your plate, harvest the veggies, herbs, and greens you need for dinner tonight in the comfort of your home. No green thumb required. Knowledge. Gardening made easy with the Rise Gardens app. Step-by-step guidance from seed to harvest. A complete garden on a shelf and comes with everything you need to grow healthy and the freshest food for you and your loved ones. Fully customize your garden to your needs and preferences. For more information and to get your Rise Garden, visit risegardens.com.
You got to check it out. It's really, really neat
how
this thing is put together and the technology. Technology is good and bad. The technology is good in this situation. So, Holly, let's go to the hotline and bring in our guest for this week.
Pam Farley is also known as Brown Thumb Mama. She is a blogger, author, and small business owner. Her new book, The First Time Gardener Container Food Gardening, comes out March 7th. Welcome to the program, Pam.
Thanks for having me.
Well, we thank you for taking time out of your day, not only educate Holly and myself, but all of our listeners. And I'll start with this. Obviously, in the garden, for many gardeners, we want to do things as natural as possible. What are some natural ways to eliminate those aphids, snails, and slugs that want to do damage to the plants we're trying to grow?
These are some of the most common garden pests that I think everybody battles. And at least for when my grandpa was teaching me about gardening, he wanted to spray everything with chemicals because that was how things were done back in the day. Thankfully now there are a lot safer ways to keep the critters off your plants. And believe it or not, for aphids, your first line of defense is going to be to just wash them off with the hose. They're not very strong. And you can just get a spray nozzle on your hose and blast them off of your roses or your vegetable plants. My kids get a kick out of buying ladybugs at our local garden center. The ladybugs and ladybug larvae will eat the heck out of your aphids. You can also use insecticidal soap, which is different from doing dish soap or laundry soap. You see a lot of interesting suggestions on the internet, and they're not always safe. But insecticidal soap suffocates the aphids, and it is safe and non-toxic for the plants and for us when we're eating them. So those are that's a great way to help fight aphids, and there are several great ways to fight snails and slugs too. One of the easiest things that you can do is to keep mulch and leaves away from the stems of plants. Snails and slugs like to hide under mulch and bark, which mulch is great for your garden because it conserves water, but you have to kind of balance that with if it becomes a snail and slug hideaway. Another thing that I have seen is, I haven't used this myself, but some folks say if you lay a little piece of maybe a broken fence board or something on the soil in the garden, for some reason the snails and slugs will like the shade underneath it. And you can go out there first thing in the morning, pick up the board and get rid of all the yucky guys that way, scrape them off into the trash can or something. Another one that I just recently learned about at a business conference is wool pellets. And these are little, they look like mothballs, but they're made from waste wool that normally would be thrown away. And they kind of smell a little bit sheepy. But you spread a layer of these wool pellets around your plants, the pellets expand a little bit when they get wet, and they kind of turn into a carpet that the slugs and snails don't like the feel of. So they are keeping down weeds, conserving water, and keeping the snails and slugs away at the same time. They're kind of like the best mulch ever, as long as you don't mind a little bit of an interesting smell.
That's definitely very interesting. Never had heard of the wool pellets.
It was new for me too. I thought it was pretty neat.
That is neat. So you are an advocate for natural living. What is natural living, and what are some ways people could live more naturally themselves, no matter where they live, or maybe they don't even realize they're already living naturally?
I think the important part to me about what living naturally means is to tread carefully on the earth, pass up the, maybe if you're getting takeout and you're going to bring it home, don't take the plastic forks and use the silverware that you already have. It could be, for some people, it's growing a couple of herbs on their windowsill. There's all different ways to live more naturally. You don't have to be super extreme and, you know, stop buying makeup and get rid of all your fancy, you know, iPhones and things like that. It's just about taking good care of the earth. And a lot of times by extension, we end up taking better care of ourselves too, because we're eating healthier and being more mindful and things like that.
Okay, so we are talking with Pam Farley, also known as Brown Thumb Mama, author, blogger, small business owner. So your book, The First Time Gardener, Container Food Gardening, comes out this Tuesday, March 7th. What is something intriguing or helpful tip that would get our listeners, you know, they're interested, piqued, to pick up a copy?
I know that your readers are already interested in gardening, and they are probably quite skilled gardeners themselves. My book is, as the title says, The First Time Gardener. And so this book is great for those folks. I tried to include the questions that the other gardening books think that you know, but you might be too embarrassed to ask. Things like, if I plant seeds, do they have a right side up? These are things that people have asked me.
Right.
What does full sun mean? What if it's sunny there all day, but then when the sun goes behind the neighbor's tree, it's shady for a half an hour. Does that still work? Or what if I plant my plant in a container that's too small? Is it going to die? Like, there's nothing wrong with these questions. It's okay to ask, you know, questions that more experienced gardeners might think, oh, well, that's silly. Everybody knows that, you know, full sun means 6 to 8 hours of sun a day, and it doesn't matter if there's a little bit of shade. Blah, 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 blah. But this book is for the beginningest beginner, and it's very kind and welcoming and friendly, and there's no such thing as a question that's too basic.
Well, and you bring that up, and we were talking to one of our close friends who works at a garden center, and he's one of the higher people up there, and he was saying that he was talking to somebody in regards to kind of that level of information, and he said, "Oh, I don't want to insult your intelligence," and she said, "You're not, because I don't know." And he, you know, he sat back and thought, we say these things, and we don't say them because we think everybody knows them, but we say them, and we're so in depth into the, you know, we're so far in the forest, we don't see the trees, that we don't step back and go, there's people that don't know these questions, or the answer to these questions.
And it's okay to not know them.
Right.
I have a friend who's an excellent seamstress, and I was telling her that I just can't get the hang of putting in a zipper, and she looked at me, you know, like I just stepped off of another planet and said, well, that's so easy. You know, you just have to. Blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And then later on in the conversation, I said something about making my own compost. And she said, oh, well, that's got to be hard and messy, and I bet it attracts rats. And I said, actually, no, it's as easy as pie. And that was an aha moment for me. Each of us has our thing that we know a lot about, and it's okay to not know something, and you should be brave and ask. It's okay.
Right. You have a lot of natural home ideals on your website with a current shortage of with a current shortage of disinformation. How do you kill germs without bleach? I think that's, everybody has, you know, bleach is the go-to, is the, you know, the gospel of killing things. How do you do it without bleach? Because I know bleach is not a very nice chemical to use.
It is very strong, and for a lot of folks, it can you know, it becomes hard to breathe when you're cleaning the shower because it's just such a very, very strong chemical. And believe it or not, there is a more natural, less abrasive combination that you can use. And it is hydrogen peroxide and white vinegar. And this was actually studied by a scientist at Virginia Tech, and she was able to demonstrate the way that these two, I guess, chemicals work in concert. So you would put a spray top on both of them, or pour them separately into separate spray bottles. You spray the vinegar onto the surface that you're disinfecting. So, you know, the kitchen counter, the bathroom door handle, light switches, things like that. Leave it sit for a few minutes, and then you spray the hydrogen peroxide on. You don't wipe it off. You just spray them on in order. And when you spray these on together, they form peracetic acid, which fights against Salmonella, E. coli, and Listeria, which is... You know, those are three germs that none of us want floating around our houses by any means. An important note that you don't want to use this combination if you have granite countertops or marble countertops or any kind of natural stone in your house or kitchen, because the vinegar is acidic and it could damage the stone.
Right. And sometimes, well, most of the time when you use bleach, it's more harmful to you than what you're trying to clean.
Probably.
So, what is the best way, what is the best practice for container gardening? Your book is about container gardening. What do you see, or in the book, what do you find to be the biggest mistake maybe that people aren't aware that they're making, but they're making, you're like, hey, you shouldn't do that?
One of the things that I see so much on, you know, Pinterest and things that get passed around, Facebook and stuff, is planting food in containers that are not food safe. Mm. For example, planting potatoes in a stack of old tires. There are so many. So I talk a lot, of course, about, you know, choosing the right container, picking the best size of container, making sure they have drainage, of course. But food safe containers are really important because, I mean, you're growing food in them, so you don't want any kind of mysterious chemicals leaching out from the container into your food. That means planting potatoes in a stack of tires is right out, because heaven knows you wouldn't eat your dinner off of a tire. So please don't grow food in something you wouldn't eat off of. Some folks will find, a pretty old bucket or something at the thrift store or the flea market, and they want to plant in it, but they don't know what, you know, if it's really old, it might have lead paint, things like that. In that case, what you can do is use a food safe pot on the inside, like a nursery pot or something like that, and use your pretty container on the outside. It's called a cash pot when you have a pot inside a pot. And you can see those a lot of times at different big planters and things will have several small pots inside of them. So I think that is the biggest concern that I see. And, you know, you can't correct everybody on the internet, but gosh, don't eat out of something. Don't grow food in something you wouldn't eat off of. It's just not safe.
Right.
So for those of us who do go thrifting and to the flea market, do you know if there's a way, maybe not necessarily for like a container, but say I found these ladles at the flea market, these vintage ladles, and I'm like, is this lead paint? Should we use this? I don't know. Do you know if there's a way to tell if it would have
lead paint? That is a great question. There, I believe that there are home lead test kits. I have not used them myself, but I did read that, like I had some vintage Pyrex from my parents' house that I wanted to donate, but I had read that that vintage Pyrex from the late 60s, early 70s, probably not safe to eat out of anymore. So I chose to not donate those because I didn't want to pass them on to someone. So I would imagine that there are probably online somewhere. Well, there are test kits.
If they weren't safe to eat now, they probably weren't safe to eat in the 70s. You just didn't
exactly,
know about it.
Yeah, which explains a lot about us 70s kids, right?
Well, Pam, we greatly appreciate the time you've offered Holly and myself and all of our listeners. How can we find out more about you, your website? Where can we get the book when it drops here on March 7th? What can you tell us?
Thank you so much. So my website is Brown Thumb Mama. So BrownThumbMama. And I am on all the socials with Brown Thumb Mama as well. And my book it's already available online and all the usual places. So Amazon, Books A Million, trying to remember all of the Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books Depository, Books A Million, and IndieBound. And if you buy it through my website, brownthumbmama.com/shop, as a special thank you for your listeners, they can enter in their email address and their order number down at the bottom of the page, and they'll get a free bonus chapter that's not in the book, all about making your own compost.
Wonderful. Well, Pam, thank you very much for the time you've offered us, and we've enjoyed the conversation.
Likewise. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And when we come back, it's Your Garden Questions, Our Garden Answers. You're tuned in to the Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show.
Have a garden question? Give Joey and Holly a call now or anytime 24/7. Just dial 1-800-927-SHOW. If you can't get through, leave a message and they will call you back. Call now 1-800-927-SHOW.
Blue Ribbon Organics, providing locally made organic compost and soil blends for gardeners, farms, landscaping, and more. To find our products nearest you, visit BlueRibbonOrganics.com.
Garden like a pro in 3 easy steps and receive customized fertilizer recommendations for your garden or lawn. Soil Savvy helps you determine what nutrients your plants need to thrive. Never again overapply nutrients they don't need. A patented process that makes you a smart gardener. To get your soil test kit, go to mysoilsavvy.com.
Dripping Springs Oya's clay pot irrigation solves the watering needs for gardens, bushes, new trees, and more. An ancient irrigation system we brought to America. Dripping Springs Oya's, OLLAS, on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram. Check us out.
Are you bugged by bugs? You need naturally green products, no more bugs, environmentally friendly, made in the USA. No More Bugs is a cedar blend that repels and eliminates mosquitoes, ticks, fleas, roaches, ants, and more. No More Bugs is safe for you, your pets, and plants. Visit nomorebugs.net for free shipping on orders over $50. Use code FREESHIP4ME. Wind River Chimes creates a symphony in any space. Chimes that are inspired by nature and designed to make the natural world even more inspiring. Music speaks to everyone. Individually handcrafted in Virginia for over 35 years and hand-tuned for an exceptional precision and lasting beauty. Because in life, the winds of change are always moving. But no matter where they carry you, Wind River Chimes will always be the inspiring harmony. With a large selection and customization options, you will find the sound that soothes you. Visit windriverchimes.com to shop and find out more.
Rootmaker starts your plants off right and keeps them going through harvest. From their seed starting trays with an innovative design that air prunes the roots to their large variety of grow bags, 1 to 60 gallons, their products will provide you the harvest you've never seen before. Visit rootmaker.com and use coupon code RADIO23 to save 15% off your order at rootmaker.com. The Gardening with Joy and Holly radio show is brought to you by the following: Happy Leaf LED, Rootmaker, Jung Seeds, Tree Hugger Sprinklers, Verlo Mattresses, Farmers Defense, Pomona Universal Pectin, Natural Green Products, Mantis Tillers. Find all sponsors at thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com and thank them for their support. Welcome back to the Gardening with Joy and Holly radio show. Happy you have been with us today. glad to provide you the program. We are in Season 7, Holly. Season 7, Show 1, will be with you through weekly, through the end of October. So we thank you for that, and we look forward to learning more about who you are.
Sometimes I can't believe we're in our seventh season already.
Seventh season, yep. Yep, 20 stations in parts of 26 states. Well, Holly, we got, first of all, if you've got a question, it's time for question and answer. If you want to be part of that, you can give us a call at 1-800-927-SHOW. That's 1-800-927-7469. Or if you're not the phone type, you can certainly send us an email to gardentalkradio@gmail.com. That's gardentalkradio@gmail.com. And we will get an answer to your question. This question, we'll start with the first one, is sponsored by Fleet Farm and FleetFarm.com. Holly, I have onions I bought. They're sprouting in the cabinet. Can I plant them in the ground when the ground is warm enough?
You can use the green off of the onion and then use the bulb the best you can. Onions are biennials and they will go to seed if you do not know if they are long or short day or midday onions. So you don't want to save the seeds. You would just want to put the green parts in the ground and see what happens.
Oh, people do not like that answer on social media. On our social media pages, we've got a video about that particular question. And it is not people don't like the answer that you just gave because, just plant it and you don't know what you're talking about, which, you know, figure 10% of the population online are certified not nice. 90%
certified not nice.
Yeah.
No, I agree. And there's people that just will be critical to be critical because
right.
They're just miserable people.
That's who they are.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if, 14 universities and 7 scientists say that, hey, this is not what you do. It doesn't matter. But yeah, the seeds, you don't know where they're coming from. Now, if you have grown that onion yourself from a start, that you started and it is going to seed in the cupboard, then you could put that in the ground to get it to put more seeds on so you can grow more next year. Yes. But if it's just random, sweet, dahlia or walla walla from who knows where, not going to be a good thing.
All right. So the next question is,
yes.
Is there a wood, type of wood, that is best for making raised beds?
All right. Yes. If people are upset at that last question, they're going to be more upset at this one. typically, you hear the answer, Western red cedar is the go-to wood for making raised beds because it's rot resistant. However, it is a very expensive wood, and it can be difficult to get a hold of. So there are other options. You've got untreated pine, which doesn't last long unless you stain it or preserve it with some type of stain or non-toxic paint. And even that is gets you a little bit longer. You can use treated wood is another way. Now, it is treated with a copper chemical, not an arsenic as it was in the 90s. All of our raised beds are 2x12 treated lumber. Now, copper is an element in which all human life needs. You've got the periodic table and copper is in there and humans got to have some copper in there. Mm-hmm. But studies have shown that if you put treated wood next to soil, this was done in the 90s. I think Oklahoma Gardening on YouTube, this was an archive video that they checked the soil when they used arsenic treated wood. Next to the wood, a couple inches out, in the center of the bed, the leaching was almost non-measurable, and that was with arsenic. So the leaching of the potential chemical from the wood, whatever you're concerned of it being, I don't think it's going to be a concern. Now, you can layer the bed with a plastic, but then you got the whole thing of, well, it's plastic, and now all this other stuff. So if the basic answer is untreated wood, probably the safest. A pine wood, probably the safest. But you're only going to get 2-3 years out of it. There are non-toxic preservatives that you can apply to the wood in order to make that wood last longer. There are composite materials like the plastic deck boards that you could use instead of wood. However, then you're back to the plastic and what was used in that plastic or to make the what adhered that plastic to make that board. So we've used pallets that were heat treated and we're not used for chemical transportation. And that has worked somewhat decent. The shelf life on those are much less because they're very thin pine or oak boards. So there is that sort of an answer. That's our answer. With anything that we offer you in questions through gardentalkradio@gmail.com or 1-800-927-SHOW, take it and do your research and see what best works for your area because your mileage may vary.
Okay, so another question is, what does it mean when it says days to maturity from planting inside or out?
Yeah, we see this on the label. Days to maturity, 80 days. Days to maturity, 112. What are we talking about? Is it from the time we start the seed inside in our cell, in our root maker grow tray? Or what's the equation? What's the answer here?
It's from planting to harvest.
So if we plant a radish seed outside, it's 30 days to maturity. If we start a tomato seed inside, it doesn't start until we put that tomato in the ground and then start going. We put the tomato in the ground X day, and then we count 90 days, and that's when the plant should be bearing a produce for us.
Right, and that's why
yes.
You don't have to start seeds.
Well, you don't have to start seeds.
Because growing up, yes. We didn't start seeds. We just planted them in the ground.
Tomatoes, peppers, eggplants. They
all
went
the things.
Right in the ground,
yep.
and that was it.
We were still harvesting zucchini in August and tomatoes in August and et cetera. And so I like starting seeds.
Right.
It's okay. But
it's a way to get a healthy plant established, and then you can put that healthy plant in the...
Is it healthy? You got to harden it.
Right.
You put the seed, then it's like the strongest survive.
But right. But then you may have patches where those seeds didn't come up or something ate them because they were weak or, you know, whatever the case is. So,
right.
All right. Next question here is, I heard and I watch people say, I have heard and seen people say, I got this for my garden and it was free. Where are you all finding this free stuff at?
I feel like this was a question made for me.
Okay.
So I taught Joey how to pick up free stuff on the side of the road.
Right. We still got the chair in the attic.
Yeah.
First chair.
Oh, yeah. That chair. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Right. And I've been picking up free stuff on the side of the road. I watched my parents do it. I've been doing it for my whole life. So, yeah, you can find stuff on junk day. You can find stuff on trash day. A lot of people put their trash out, especially on long weekends.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have like a 3-day weekend, like a government, whatever, holiday weekend, like Memorial Day, Labor Day, whatever. People will put their stuff out after that weekend because they've cleaned up their garage, mm-hmm. et cetera. And you can find that stuff. You can also a lot of times find stuff now on Facebook Marketplace. People have like curbside.
Just because it's free, you got to scroll down and read the description because it's the free to get you there. And it's at $50 for this and $60
for that. Right.
Yeah.
You definitely want to make sure you read the fine print on that. And even, I believe there's still the free portion of
Craigslist.
Stuff on the Craigslist. Yeah. So that's another way you can look. Now you're thinking, my neighbors don't throw anything out.
You don't know what your neighbor's got.
You don't know what your neighbor's got. You also, sometimes you might have to drive around to other neighborhoods.
Right.
And
the rich neighborhoods.
And see, I mean, there's like certain neighborhoods that, yeah, like Joey said, the rich neighborhoods where they don't even realize what they're throwing out. We have a window air conditioner from the rich neighborhoods.
Uh-huh. I got a radio alarm saw from the rich neighborhood. We got the shelf that the canning jars are on from a rich neighborhood.
Right.
So, yeah.
And even if
thank
not
you, rich
the,
neighborhood, you may be listening. Thank you.
Even if it's not the rich neighborhood, a lot of people are, you know, always moving, always
right.
always getting rid
well,
of
here's
stuff.
The other thing, and you bring up your neighbors. It doesn't hurt. I mean, if you have a good relationship with your neighbors, if you don't like your neighbors, don't do this. It, you know, go over, hey, Roger, hey, Susie, I'm looking for this item. Do you have this or do you know anybody that has such an item? 90% of the time they're probably going to go, oh, yeah, we got it. We never use it. Why don't you just take it? Because it's only sitting in the closet taking up space.
You're absolutely correct. People will give you their stuff if you ask. I mean, I even had people when I worked in office. I work from home now, but when I worked in office, they would just bring stuff in and they would leave it in the
communal, in the, on the community table,
in the cafeteria, whatever. I actually kind of miss that sometimes because I'd like have a granola bar. I'm like, this isn't that good, and I would leave like three more there. But for a long time, there was a VHS workout tape that was in that break room, and it was kind of comical because people kept moving around. But anyway, you can
make it a doorstop.
You can find free stuff pretty easily. You just have to know where to look. And I would say, don't be shy. You know, if you see some stuff on the side of the road, it's worth it to stop to look.
Right.
I mean, if it looks like old furniture and carpet scraps, that's probably what it is.
You can look. Just don't destroy or make a mess.
Right. Don't make a mess. If you move stuff around, put it back. Don't make it so that you're impeding people's ability to drive on the road. But definitely, you can easily figure out what trash day is. And you go out like the evening before. A lot of times people might have set that stuff out.
Right.
And even in some municipalities, they have like large trash days. Mm-hmm. Those are the money beats.
Yep. Yeah. Real quick before we get out of here, starting seeds indoors, what is the best light on and off ratio, Holly?
14 hours on and 10 hours off.
That is what we have found to be the best success for our seed starting regimen, as well as we do have 700-day-old tomatoes, Tiny Tim tomatoes, that we have been growing for 700-plus days that continue to produce. So we do that light cycle, and it works very well. Well, we appreciate your time. We are out of time, and we thank you for yours. Miss any portion of the program today or would like to revisit it, you can do such by going to our parent website, the WisconsinVegetableGardener.com, and clicking on the Season 7 tab at the top of the page. You can check out past seasons as well there, or you can send us an email to gardentalkradio@gmail.com, and we will send you a link to this program in podcast form. Tune in next week to the program. We're going to go over first plants you should put in the ground, as well as what to avoid when you go to your garden center, as well as we'll have a garden guest. So until next week, for
Holly Baird,
I'm Joy Baird, and we will see you in the garden.